Hello, world, and welcome to a series of unfortunate sequels, where we explore the highs
and the lows
of cinema's most enduring franchises. My name is John.
And I'm Rebecca.
And today we're going to be talking about the highest rated movie in the Christmas Prince franchise, A Christmas Prince. A Christmas Prince.
Yeah, you got
it. Not to be confused with The Christmas Prince.
Is there one called The Christmas Prince?
Probably.
Okay.
Now, this movie was released in 2017 on Netflix and has a 5.8 stars.
Devastatingly low.
Devastatingly. Understandably, but devastatingly.
John, I'll go right out and say it. This is way better than The Expendables. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, no.
We'll see.
Okay, so I'm not going to ask you what your experience with this franchise is, because I'm intimately aware that you have watched every single Christmas Prince movie with me.
Yep.
Every year since they have come out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unironically. I didn't force him. Don't sit there and be like, no, oh.
I'm very into these.
Yeah.
Like, any type of cheesy movies in general, but cheesy Christmas movies especially, that don't center around Jesus.
That's the cut for me, too. Yeah. Yeah, can't be.
I make an exception for Dolly Parton.
I don't. I have a lot of regrets about that Dolly Parton movie we watched. For anyone out there, it's on Netflix. Just put in Dolly Parton and it'll come up. I don't remember the title.
There's got to be more than one on there, though. She does like one every year.
No, she doesn't, I don't think. Not on Netflix.
No, maybe not on Netflix.
Yeah.
So, anywho.
Anywho.
This is a Netflix Christmas movie.
I think everyone is aware. This was pretty... I don't know why Netflix puts out a lot of really cheesy Christmas movies. This one, for some reason, got a lot more attention.
Yeah. I don't know whether it was like...
It was one of the first, maybe?
Maybe one of the first. Who knows? So, this one follows our heroine, Amber Moore.
Not to be confused with Liv Moore.
That actress's other character in the iZombie franchise.
I'm going to be honest. She's 90% of the reason why I wanted to watch this movie.
Samesies.
Okay.
Now, she's a junior editor at a magazine. Her job is basically cleaning up other people's articles, but frequently they just make her rewrite the whole thing. That's kind of her deal. She wants to be her own writer, but she's been rejected 5 times. Never really specifies by who she's been rejected, but she has a rejection letter right there on her desk to show that when she wanted to be her own writer, she got rejected 5 times.
Is she getting rejected by, like, the own magazine, or?
She literally never says.
Okay. Because I'm going to be honest, 5 rejections, not a lot.
Not a lot of rejections.
That's not a lot of rejections, Liv. I mean, shit. Amber.
Also, she was holding up the rejection letter. She was holding up legit looked straight up like one of the credit card statements that I get. I think it was just a credit card statement.
It was the prop master's credit card statement.
So that's why she's happy just cleaning up other people's messes. But then a break happens for her. Her editor, I guess, editor-in-chief, maybe. I don't know what her official title was. Whoever runs the magazine, maybe, calls her in and says, hey, we've got this story in Aldovia. The king died, and someone needs to take over the throne before the certain time period has ended.
A year.
Or else something will happen.
That means he'll
officially abdicate the crown, and then I don't know who the crown goes to after that, but...
We know who the crown goes to after that. The cousin.
Not at this point, we don't.
Oh.
So, we need you to go to Aldovia and follow this story. By the way, this prince is some sort of a hot shot playboy. He's in all the tabloids. This is gonna be juicy.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is a really, this movie really follows the beats of a pretty tropey romance novel. I do not mean that as an insult at all to the movie or to romance novels. There's a reason those tropey beats exist and exist in a lot of pieces of fiction. But it is really funny to, like, see it hit all of these points. But yeah, like, him having a reputation for being a playboy is, yeah.
Yeah, and they are very unapologetic in how generic they're trying to be.
Oh, for sure.
If you're watching this and you kind of pause on this scene in particular. It's got like a big, you know, one of those classic magazine cutouts of like, oh, this is one of the sample magazines like on their wall. And it's got really generic stuff on it, like swimsuit model and just like random, like nondescript stuff like that, just in big letters.
I didn't pay that much attention to that.
It's pretty good. So anywho, she's pretty excited for this. She flies to Aldovia. When she's waiting for her cab, she gets cut off by some rude dude with an attitude.
And a beard.
And a beard. He steals her cab, and she's like, you, what did she call him?
Oh, God.
Something like a rude jerk or an inconsiderate jerk or something like that.
Yeah, something very PG.
Yeah.
Because if it were me and I was from New York, because she's from New York City, by the way.
We're supposed to believe.
Yeah, we're supposed to believe this New Yorker got someone stole her cab and she was like, oh, you rude little jerk. Nah. As someone from Jersey, that's not what would come out of my mouth.
So anyway, she's now on this van. She's on the way to her first press conference. She's going to go to the palace and the prince is going to be there and she's going to be able to get her first real experience as a member of the press. Unfortunately, the prince doesn't show up.
I wish you all could see the look John just gave me. Just this wide-eyed, talking through the side of his mouth. His hair is wild today. It's really fantastic. Yeah, the prince doesn't show. Classic.
Yeah. What a hot shot.
He's so irresponsible.
God, those playboys. So
do people still use the term playboy, by the way?
They must.
I guess.
Anywho, since he doesn't show up, they have to cancel the press conference. Everyone's super bummed. Amber is not having that, though. Instead of getting back on the bus with the other press people, she's like, I can't go home empty-handed, which... she doesn't say via an expression that would read as, I don't want to go home empty-handed. She just says to the camera, I can't go home empty-handed. So she sneaks back into the castle and starts taking pictures.
I want to say, I think she did say that with the expression on her face. The actress is quite good, but they also just made her say, I can't go home empty-handed.
Yeah, we were discussing this. I think if you are a screenwriter for Netflix movies, you probably have to write the movie with the assumption that whoever is going to be acting your script is going to suck. And the screenwriter for this just didn't know that they got iZombie Lady. So, you know, they wrote it the same, but no editing was done after it was cast. That's my theory.
They should have known on set.
Anywho, she gets caught in the palace taking pictures.
Okay, here's another. This is okay. One of the only notes that I have. I hate this in movies. It happens so much when someone's trying to sneak around and take pictures with their phone and the loud clicking sound of the taking pictures is still there. First of all, does anyone not immediately disable that from their phone, like the second they get it? Like, does your phone make a shutter sound when you take a picture?
No.
No, absolutely not. Nobody keeps that on, especially if you're trying to sneak around and not be shown. And then... it drives me bananas. I know they're trying to do it to like show us. We know what it looks like when people take pictures with their phone.
I want them to install an additional app that makes the sound of like film rewinding too occasionally. Like you take 15 pictures and then your phone goes.
You should be like a sound designer.
A Foley artist.
A Foley artist. That was the word. I do wonder though.
That's me blowing air through my cheeks.
Can I talk?
Did it sound accurate?
I do wonder if things like that are for, like, I don't know, are there, like, older people in the audience who would be like, what are they doing with the phone, Gerald? She's just pointing it at things.
It is possible.
She taking video. Do you like my old lady impression?
It is a wonderful impression.
Thank you. That's what you have to look forward to.
That's very possible. I assume a lot of old people are watching these Christmas videos on Netflix.
Yeah.
So anywho, she gets caught. The dude who catches her is like, oh, you're an American. You must be the American tutor for the princess. And she's just like, yep, that's me.
Just like that.
pretty much exactly. So she gets taken up. She finds that the tutor was not supposed to be there for another 2 weeks. So she's got 2 weeks to run this con. Mm-hmm. She gets brought up to meet the princess and the queen and the prince. Guess who the prince is, folks? It was the rude dude with the attitude. He immediately recognizes her and also immediately recognizes that she is the one who shouted that insult to him after the door was closed in the cabin he was driving away.
Yeah, he was like long gone after she called him a rude jerk or something. Mumbled it. She didn't like yell it after him like a true New Yorker would. She just was like, what a rude jerk.
But she's like, ah, oh, it's you. She apologized, but he's like, nah, it's cool, it's my bad. And then we meet the Princess Emily. Mm-hmm. She doesn't seem too keen on tutors. She scared the last one away, and this one doesn't look like it's going to go any better.
What was that accent that slipped out?
That was her. The princess. Princess Emily.
Hey, I'm Princess Emily. I hope you like mice.
She's feisty. So we're about to go to their first tutoring session. She's warned ahead of time that the person who hired her basically is like, ah, oh, in my experience, the American agencies are all loosey-goosey with their practices. And she's like, there's nothing loose about this goose, so don't even worry about it. Which was uncomfortable for everyone involved.
I do like how you had to put this down.
There's nothing loose about this goose.
It's not a plot point. You're like, this line is that upsetting.
It's gold.
I need to write it down. Oh, gold. I thought it was upsetting.
Oh.
We should say it more, though. I kind of like it.
Yeah, nothing loose about
nothing
this goose.
Nothing loose about this goose. All right.
So she's in her first tutoring session. She clearly doesn't know her stuff because she's not a tutor.
You know, I did kind of like that. She didn't know jack about math. She was like looking at her math homework and she's like, this looks good. Yeah. I really connected with that like a deep, deep level. Because I don't care if that girl's 11 years old. If I looked at like an 11 year old's math homework, way over my head. Absolutely.
I get that. So the Princess Emily uses a wheelchair and she lets us know that she has spina bifida. Also lets us know that there's no cure. There's a lot of kind of exposition here where Amber's not actually asking any questions, but the princess is just kind of continuing to talk. Yeah. Like, Amber goes to meet her by the window, and then they see the prince outside. The prince is practicing archery.
We saw this movie when it came out years ago. I didn't really remember much. The one thing I remembered about this movie was the archery scene.
So the prince has a bow and arrow, and he's standing probably 5, maybe 10. I'll give him a generous 10 feet away from the target. Basically just trying to shoot the target point blank with his bow and arrow. Still very bad at it. Just still missing a lot.
Yeah, they go down, and I'm very glad that he turns around and is like, I'm a bit rusty, because I 100% was expecting him to turn around and be like, yes, I'm a champion, a world champion, because that's just the kind of movie that this is.
It is, because they do that.
Yeah, you'll get that later with the piano scene. But, oh, God, it's just really, really, really funny.
Yeah. So they give the bow to Emily, who immediately shoots a bullseye. And then they give it to Amber, who immediately accidentally shoots through a window and into a piece of art.
I really can't stress enough how far away she flung her arms. How did she do that? I don't even remember.
I don't remember either.
I feel like that was probably the actress's greatest feat as an actress, like to try to realistically miss the target that was 10 feet away from her.
By that much. That was a thick window that it went through, too.
Yeah, and then, like, struck a priceless work of art, nearly killed the queen, I think.
She must have pulled back that drawstring much further than would have been necessary to hit the target that was 10 feet away.
And I think that much stronger than that bow probably could have gone. It was pretty
small.
Yeah,
that was like a maybe 20, 30-pound pull tops. Shit wasn't going through a window.
Oh, boy. Okay. They do have a couple of scenes where they're like, what a klutz. I really hate the protagonist is klutzy trope because it's always seen as cute. I'm very clumsy. John Will.
I think it's cute.
Yeah, was it really cute that time I spilled a bunch of wine on my brand new laptop and called you up sobbing about it? And I completely ruined that.
That was a good time.
That was not a good time. And you know it. I've, like, destroyed a lot of... you know, nice things. I have a lot of rules for myself because of this. I have a separate table for drinks. Drinks aren't allowed near my computer. Like, I'm not kidding. It's not cute. Please stop. Please stop putting this trope in things.
So anyway, Emily's pretty jazzed that Amber treated her like a regular child. So she invites Amber to a cocktail hour that they're having. So she shows up. There's a lot of well-to-do people here. They're serving food that's much too fancy for Amber, like jellied meat.
It was nasty. Yeah, she's very underdressed, and they made it apparent that it was unusual for her to be there. No one really expected her to be there.
Yeah, she got called to help a few times, mm-hmm. and we meet Simon the Weenie here. Now, he is a nephew to the crown, who it's kind of established if Richard abdicates, then Simon will be taking over because he's the next nearest blood relative.
The next male blood relative.
Yes, Emily is very unhappy about this because it will pass over her despite the fact that she is the next actual blood relative of mm-hmm. the actual king.
Even though it's 2017 here, but that's the way the world works.
Mm-hmm. Now, Amber is talking to her friends back in New York via her laptop, and
it's a big discussion in the romance genre that a lot of the times the white female lead will have either a black and or gay best friend. She literally has a black and a gay best friend who their only lines ever have to do with what Amber is doing. They just live in her laptop to give her advice and talk to her about her life.
Yeah. Love life, career, it's all on the table.
We know nothing about them.
Absolutely nothing.
I do remember they have a bigger role in later movies. I remember that much, especially the third one. Yeah.
Is that the one we are going to watch?
We are going to watch the third one. I also might at some point watch the second one this next week.
Anywho, she's basically telling them, I really don't know if there's a story here. Everything here is pretty normal. But they let her know, where there's tiaras, there's dirt.
Is that an actual line?
Yeah, that's a real line.
I kept spacing out whenever the computer friends were on.
But they had so much insight.
The computer friends.
Now, she walks in on Prince Richard playing piano. He's playing a very easy Christmas carol. Amber is very impressed. Wow. You are so talented.
It's another trope of the male love interest playing the piano, by the way. I don't know why. To show him, I don't know. Is that like a way to look sympathetic or tender in a way?
Maybe. Him know that he's got like hobbies or like skills or more finger dexterity.
Oh, honey.
I'm down. <don't>
Yeah, I know how to play one song on the piano, and it was the song he was playing. He was playing it slightly better than I can, but she was literally breathless, like, sorry, it's just, you're really good. Oh, God. We both died. John's, like, agonizing, like, trying to learn how to play the piano.
I should learn that song.
You're much better than him, by the way.
You would be very impressed if I could learn that song.
Oh, God. I'd be so impressed. I would record you with my phone creepily in the corner.
Now, we jump to a tree decorating scene now. This is kind of a tradition with the family. And who should show her face but Lady Sophia? We don't know a whole lot about her, but there seem to be some sparks between her and Richard and some anti-sparks between her and Simon, although Simon is very interested.
Yeah. She's an ex. You know right away she walks in, you know she's an ex.
Now, next tutoring session, Emily doesn't want to go. And Amber's like, but you're going to get me in trouble. And she's like, not as much trouble as if I told them the truth about you. Emily knows everything. She went through Amber's computer. She knows she's a reporter. She knows why she's here. But she's willing to not turn her in as long as Amber promises to write the truth about her brother Richard. Not the stuff that the tabloids print, but like the real story about who he really is.
Because he's not a playboy.
Mm-mm.
The only play he does is snowball fights.
Yeah, which he's about to do. He organizes a festival for the orphans in town. And when it comes time for him to give his big speech, he's not there. Ugh, playboy Richard dropping the ball again. But luckily, Emily knows where he is. She brings Amber over to where the orphans and King Richard or Prince Richard are having a snowball fight. Specifically, they have a snowman set up.
Oh my god.
And Prince Richard gives them all snowballs and is like, we must.
He's been sentenced.
This snowman has been found guilty and sentenced to execution by firing line.
Squad. But yeah, that's fucking bleak, dude.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's snowballs, but man. Come on. No chill. But cute snowball fight scene.
I could have done without the firing squad joke is all.
Hey.
In this Christmas Prince film.
You need that imagery in mind.
Okay.
Yeah, next tutoring session, doesn't really matter because she's not a tutor anymore. So instead, Amber just sneaks Emily out and they're going to go sledding.
This snowman's been sentenced to death by lethal injection. that's what it sounds like. Anyway, they go sled.
They go sledding on a sled smallest. That's just the smallest sled. It looks like a sled made for Emily, but Emily.
Just Emily.
Just Emily. But Emily and Amber are both riding it. And Amber's, she's not big, but she is a full-grown woman. And Amber is a child, or Emily is a child. It is made for a child.
Her legs are just, like, out front of the sled the whole time. I kept waiting for it to, like, stop the sled, and they both go fucking flying.
Which it probably did so many times when actually filming.
Oh, they must have been so uncomfortable. Imagine having to, like, lift up your legs to go sledding the whole time. Like,
I've had to do that. It sucks.
Yeah.
We used to fit 3 or 4 people on our sleds.
I could not get over this sled. Like, 15 minutes afterwards, I was still talking about the sled.
That fucking sled, though. Can they not afford a better sled? Aren't they rich?
That's not a good impression of me.
It was pretty good. Now, Prince Richard is at the bottom of the hill after they crashed the sled, which was inevitable. He then throws snowballs at him, and they get in another snowball fight.
Oh.
Ah, those crazy kids and their snowballs.
Another firing squad for the traitors.
Now, it's nighttime, and the prince has snuck away on his horse. And Amber wants to know where, so she also takes out a horse and follows him. She doesn't really know how to work horse. She's just kind of hoping.
She doesn't know how to work horse.
She's hoping horse will follow other horse.
I don't think she knows what horses do, because she's literally like, she gets lost in the woods, and she's like, I hope you know where we're going. And I'm like, bitch, it's going where you tell it to go.
Right?
It's a horse.
You've got the reins.
What are you talking about?
So the horse is like, nah, fuck this. I'm out. I don't know what this bitch wants from me. So it rears up, knocks Amber off, and runs away. Amber's now all alone in the woods, and if you've ever seen
Beauty
and the Beast, you know what happens next. The wolves come. Ow!
Oh, honey.
That's my wolf noise.
That was really good.
Thank you. You're been working on it.
Oh, so good. Is that what that sound is at night? You're working on your wolf impression.
Now, the prince comes and fires a gun, scares the wolf off, and rescues Amber.
Why did he have a gun? I just realized that he fired a gun into the air to scare away.
Probably because he knows that there are wolves in the woods.
And I guess it's true. Oh, he was just at the hunting cabin. Never mind. Although he had like a
handgun. Yeah,
yeah,
he
like
wasn't going to. Not a hunting.
You're not hunting with a pistol.
Maybe,
well.
Maybe there was another snowman.
Another fucking traitor to the
kids
throne.
The cut you off easy. You won't have such luck under my reign.
Oh, God.
He brings her to the hunting cabin. And it's like a nice little secret cabin. It's great aesthetic.
I fucking love it. I want to live there. Fuck the castle.
We get a lot of exposition
about the prince.
I'd live
in the castle, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'd live on. They're both nice.
Not to talk over the plot. To declare that I would indeed live in a castle.
You know what? I'm gonna be honest with you right now. If someone said I could live in a castle, I'd do it.
I would do it. Bold claim, but I would do it.
So he shows her a letter that his father had written for his mother, but never got a chance to deliver. He thinks that he meant to deliver it when he gave her a special acorn ornament that was a gift that they hung up during the tree decorating ceremony, but died before he got a chance to. So he's going to give it to her as a you know, surprise present this year. The letter itself is basically just a riddle.
Very obvious one.
A very obvious one, but no one puts any time into solving it right now. It'll come back later.
But it essentially says, please open the acorn. Yes. Like, it basically says that exactly.
Yes. But they don't know that.
Yeah.
Amber drops something on the ground, goes to pick it up, and finds a secret latch under the desk. So she, you know, pulls it. A secret drawer opens up, and some folders in there.
You missed an important scene where they almost kiss. John.
They almost kiss, folks.
They almost kiss, and then the horses make a sound, and he's like, I must go check up on the horses. Because, why? I don't know. Maybe the wolves are back.
Maybe.
Maybe the snowman.
The horses don't have guns of their own. So she finds these hidden documents, she hides them away, and they go back to the castle. Now, these documents are basically, there are birth certificates, and there's an adoption certificate. This is basically proof that Prince Richard is not actually King Richard's son by blood.
Yeah.
He was adopted, which, according to law, means that he is not eligible to take over the crown. This is a pretty big deal.
I'm shocked.
Now, we remember she is here to break a big story about the prince. So, I mean, this is a pretty fucking big story. So she calls her friends up. Like, I don't know what to do. And they're like, break the story, bitch. Like, this is going to be your big story. You gotta do it. She's like, oh, I don't know. So then she wanders around the castle and
I mean, it would be like she has gotten to know Richard at this point, and he is likely not aware that he's adopted. I feel like that's important to stress.
Yeah. But then she wanders around the castle and sees him kiss Lady Sophia. Now, we saw the whole scene. The whole scene was basically Lady Sophia being like, we'd be perfect together. And he was like, no, nah, 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 nah. And then she kisses him. And that's the point where Liv pokes her head in and then pokes her head out right before the prince is like, no, cut that shit out.
Can we all agree if we see a person we like macking somebody else that you stay for a few seconds longer?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you gotta duck immediately.
I just run away. You wouldn't even confront me. You'd be like.
So then she calls her dad. She wants a second opinion. Her dad's like, follow your heart. Thanks, Dad. And then the prince comes and is like, I want to take a walk with you. And they have a heartfelt moment. And they kiss with the lippies.
Oh, ew.
While they're doing that, though...
You made it so...
No. That's people okay. Kiss with lippies. Mm-hmm. while they're out, she almost tells Prince Richard the truth about her, but changes her mind when the kisses happen.
With the lips.
With the lippies. Now, Simon and Sophia break into her room while she's out, and they find the documents, and they find information about her. And you know they're not gonna be cool about it. So... God, I forgot about the line I wrote down.
Which line did you write down?
Okay, yeah, it was when Simon found the birth certificate that proved that he was actually the heir to the crown and was like, Christmas came early. And having just watched The Expendables, I thought it would have been very funny if he had just finished having sex with Jason Statham's character, who is named Christmas in that movie.
Yeah, right. It was a good one.
It was pretty good.
Even better the second time, because I had to hear that joke when we were watching the movie.
Looks like Christmas came early. Emily arranges for a full makeover for Amber, but she keeps her Converses on, because, you know, she's just like that. She's not like the other ladies in court.
Feel like they made it a big deal in that sense, you know. I don't know, she's in a really nice dress, but she kind of like shows her shoes to Emily, be like, I still got my shoes on. It was smart.
That's the whole reason Emily likes her. She specifically says, because you're not like the other girls in court.
She says you're not like other people around here. I feel like it's different.
Tomato.
No, I feel like I'm not like other girls is a very, very specific harmful thing, and I don't see that here. Saying, like, you're not like the other rich royal snobs is very different than saying you're not like other girls here.
Yeah, and the whole, like, you know, flashing the Converses in the fancy dress, I feel like was another, like, call out to that.
Yeah, sure.
Now, as Amber is coming down the stairs, Lady Sophia is all like, or Simon's all like, oh, she's so pretty.
That's what he says when he's standing there.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what he said.
I don't think he says
basic. Anything. He says, he's like, oh, she cleans up nice or something like that.
Ew.
And then Sophia's like, makeup on a pig.
No, she said it's like putting lipstick on a pig, which if you've ever seen the actress, yeah, she's stunningly beautiful. The line.
Yeah, so
it's funny because then they immediately cut to Rose McIver looking like just an absolute
gorgeous.
Yeah, it's radiant, beautiful person.
She didn't even have glasses for them to take off to do a pretend makeover.
No, she's beautiful the whole time. Just classless.
Mm. Now we're at the coronation now. Richard's being all coronated and shit. And then they ask if anyone has any reason why this person should not be coronated, which I feel like can't be a real question at a coronation. That's just a wedding thing.
I don't know. It is very similar. It's something like if you have any, I don't know, disagreements. I don't remember exactly how it was worded.
I don't know. Something weird. But anywho, Sophia's all like, I have an objection. He's not the rightful king. So, and here's an adoption paper, and then shows it around to everyone. Basically, every sentence she says, there's another gasp of surprise from the audience. Like, I have an objection. He's not the rightful king. I have the adoption paper right here. And she turns around and flashes it to another group. And then they're like, oh, how'd you get that paper? She's like, oh, well, I got it from this reporter. Liv. Oh, shit, not Liv. Amber. God damn it.
We haven't even watched iZombie in years.
Amber Moore. And then the queen's like, yeah, it's true. I'm sorry.
I feel so bad for poor Richard here. So
yeah. It's like, Richard's finding out he's adopted at the same time as he's finding out that girl he really likes is a reporter.
Yeah, he's just standing on stage in front of everybody. Like,
awkward for him. He runs away.
Yeah, of course. I would have run away too. Yeah.
Now Simon wants to fast track the coronation because, you know, now he's the next up. So unfortunately, they can't do that without a parliamentary quorum. So they need enough members there to have quorum, and they need the queen there.
He also quickly marries, what's her name, Sophia.
Very quickly marries Sophia. Sophia is clearly only interested in it for the crown, doesn't even kiss him when they do their kiss the bride dealy.
The kiss the bride dealy.
Yeah, that part of the dealy. Amber's on her way back home after having been banished from the castle, obviously. She's in the airport. And she calls her dad, and her dad says something about letting a plant grow or something. And she's like, oh, wait, no, the riddle! She goes on a big tangent on the phone with her dad the whole time. Her dad's very fucking confused about what she's talking about. She's like, wait, the riddle! Like, what? What riddle? The acorn! Honey, what acorn? Honey, I'm still here. Of course! Honey, what are you talking about? So she goes back to the palace. And it's like, you gotta let me in. There's something in the acorn. And basically,
you gotta let me in.
Guys, come on.
Don't do this to me, the prince.
They let her in. There was something in the acorn. Turns out it is paperwork that proves that the king amended the law specifically to let King Richard, or Prince Richard, take over for king after he died.
I guess he could just do that.
Yeah, I guess as king, you can just kind of do whatever you want. Now, it was interesting because when I had misremembered exactly how this was, I knew that he had changed the law to make it so that Richard could take over. For some reason in my mind, I thought that he had adjusted the law so that adopted family could take over. But he didn't. This was a very specific law about Richard. He didn't say it doesn't matter if you're blood, if you're family or family. He said, I allow Richard specifically to take over. Fuck all you future adopted members of the family.
You just better hope that next king also amends the law.
But anyhow, they bring the paperwork there. They prove that Prince Richard can be king. Prince Richard becomes king. And then Amber goes back to New York,
where she sits with her friends and talk about herself.
Yes.
Oh, no, wait, first the job.
First she submits her story. Her editor is not at all interested, calls it a fluff piece, and is like, no, this is, no, not publishing this. And she's like, and quits.
Exactly like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to start a blog.
I'm going to start a blog. So she starts a blog and publishes the piece on her blog. Yeah. It's a pretty big deal. And her friends all leave to go partying. She's not really interested in being partying. She's helping her dad out at, her dad owns a restaurant, so she's helping him out there. All of a sudden, King Richard Ooh. Shows up.
You almost said prince that
I
one time.
I did almost say prince. The whole... But no, now he is king of Richard.
He's so. Rich King Richard, king of Richard.
Rich King Richard. King of Richard Rich.
From Richard.
He misses Amber and was like, I want you to be my Amber. Please accept ring. That was his proposal.
Wants her to be the queen.
Wants her to be queen of Aldovia. Actually, no, I think this is where he was like, I want you to be queen of Aldovia. And she's like, I can't leave my work. Which is, as established, writing a blog.
Yeah. My work is here. My whole life is here.
He's like, you can just come back and forth whenever. But my dad, like, he can come too. I'll fly his whole restaurant in Aldovia if you want. Finally, she agrees, and we cut to credits. Mm-hmm. Actually, first we do a pan-out shot where they're kissing in the middle of a New York street, the middle of a completely empty, abandoned New York street like there are so many of.
I do think you can get to some parts in New York City that aren't as busy, especially when everybody's in Times Square. But yeah, that's a Christmas Prince.
That is a Christmas Prince.
How'd you like it?
I liked it.
Yeah. It was still fun the second time.
I feel like when you watch a movie that where the twists are as predictable as this one, you don't really lose a whole lot in the second viewing, having already known the twists.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah, it is cute. It has a lower rating than I was expecting. I'm not really sure where that came from, unless it's a bunch of people who normally wouldn't watch a holiday romance, and they kept hearing about it, and so they heard about it, you know, and then they watched it and didn't like it.
Yeah, because I feel like when we watched it going in
knowing
exactly what we were going to get. And then we got exactly what we were expecting.
Yeah.
And it was delightful. It was the reason we both watched it in the first place.
Yeah, it reminds me when like a book series or a certain book will really blow up. And then people will read it when they normally wouldn't. And then they hate it. And it's like, well, that's not your genre. You know, you don't have to read it just because it got really popular. But yeah, it kind of reminds me of that. Because I do think it, I don't think it should have at least, like, I don't know, the same rating as some of the other low movies that we've seen.
Maybe the difference, as I'm thinking about it, maybe the difference is that something like this, like, it is exactly as good as you expect it to be, but you would never say that this is, like, fine cinema.
I guess that's true.
Whereas something like, I mean, I don't want to use The Expendables as an example because it's exactly the same thing, but for the act, this is... The Expendables is Christmas Prince of the action genre. You go in expecting what you got, and you got what you expected. But like, if a you know, what is fine cinema has a sequel, and then you expect more from it, I could see like, oh, I was expecting a 10, but it sucked, so I gave it a 5.8. Whereas something like Christmas Prince is like, I was expecting a 5.8, and it delivered, so I'm going to give it a 5.8.
Yeah, I guess that goes back to how people rate things, which you see this in the book community a lot, where a lot of people rate things on kind of the same scale, which I do understand, but I prefer to rate things based on what they're attempting to be. And as far as what A Christmas Prince was trying to do, I think it succeeded. And so I wouldn't rate it. So like, yeah, sure, it's not as good as Schindler's List. But you know what I mean? Like, it's not trying to be. And that happens with books a lot, too. People will, you know, they're like, I read this book and it was really funny and cute and sweet and warm and it made me super happy. I gave it 3.5 stars out of 5. Because they're comparing it to, like, a masterpiece of literature, you know? And it's not trying to be that.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, because it's tough. Like, if you rate like that, then it seems like there's only 1.5 ever. There'll be like 1.5 that's like the best book, and then everything else will be lower than a 5.
Yeah. And... I mean, a lot of people have their own like little standards for it. Like if it was a life-changing thing, then I rated a 5. But not everything's trying to be something life-changing. So, yeah. I don't know. That's just kind
of
how I...
arbitrarily based on how I feel after I finish. Like, this made me feel like a 6.
Yeah. I don't know. Everyone's got their system and it works for them. But yeah. I definitely just prefer to rate on how well it did what it was trying to do. So what would you rate A Christmas Prince based on our fantastic rating system?
I would rate Christmas Prince one wildly inaccurate Archer Prince, one wildly overrated Piano Prince, one wildly mischaracterized Playboy Prince, and one not super great looking Beardo Prince.
So you basically rate this A Christmas Prince.
Out of A Christmas Prince.
I would rate A Christmas Prince one Liv Moore. Actually, I'm going to rate it 10. Because that's how much I love her. I rate it 10 Love Mores / Amber / what's her name in this that she was pretending to be? Martha? Oh, Margaret?
Mary Martha. Something like that. Two first names.
It was nuts. I would also give it... I'm going to subtract a really tiny sled because it stressed me out. But I will add the 10 feet of distance that the Christmas Prince needed between himself and the target when shooting archery. And one great cabin and two really beautiful horses. And that's my rating for A Christmas Prince.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good rating.
That's pretty good. So next week we are going to talk about the lowest rated. Unfortunately, it is a tie.
Yeah.
Between the second and the third.
This is unprecedented in our history.
Mm-hmm. I did debate having us watch both because there's somehow like not much going on and also a lot of convoluted plot turns at the same time in these movies. I think we could do it, but I'd rather just focus on one. So the tiebreaker is going to be the Rotten Tomato score.
Yeah, we normally do the IMDb score. Since they're tied, tiebreaker Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. So it will be A Christmas Prince 3.
The Royal Baby.
The Royal Baby.
Baby, yeah.
I'm not going to spoil what the plot of this is.
I wonder what's going to happen. I honestly, aside from being pregnant, I don't really remember much. I know her friends are staying with her. I think her two friends, they have lives now. They each have a love interest later,
yeah,
too.
That's
they
true.
Get love interests. Yeah, I kind of remember that. I remember Simon's still around. He's trying to be a good guy now or something. But they still don't trust him because he's a weenie face.
He's still a weenie face.
He's got
got rid of his weenie face.
Yeah,
is the thing.
He's got a real villain face. Yeah, he would definitely be like, yeah.
The true Essex of Dutchshireville.
In a medieval movie, he would ride a black horse and
have a cape, probably.
Yeah, have a cape. Are we just talking about A Knight's Tale? I don't know.
God, I was thinking of the bad guy from like Three Musketeers or like Robin Hood. Or
thinking about A Knight's Tale.
Sheriff Nottingham.
So a lot of things. We were just right to blanket that.
That is all for A Christmas Prince. So join us next time when we talk about A Christmas Prince 3. And until then, watch the best.
And save the rest for us.
See you next time, you inconsiderate jerks.
That's it? That's what you... What about the... I'm a lippies.